everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This is, of course, a new Comics Wednesday for the comics coming out on January 31st. So I'm going to talk about a few titles I've already read, and then a few other titles coming out today that you might want to be on the lookout for. Before I get started, I just want to mention that we put out a podcast yesterday on the 9-panel grid, or actually, yesterday, Tuesday. It went out, and it was all about the news that Valiant Comics had been bought out wholly by DMG, which is an entertainment conglomerate, I guess you'd say, based out of LA, but they have roots in China, and they've been an investor in Valiant for a while. And, you know, go listen to the podcast if you're interested in getting some analysis of the news. It's pretty big news. It's going to have a big effect on Valiant and the landscape. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Valiant and even bigger fan of the people that work over there. So, hopefully they can continue to put out high quality books and be in control of their product and won't be dictated to. There is some worry that this media company that bought them is more concerned with TV shows and movies than comics. So, but it's all in the analysis. I encourage you to go and listen. All right, on to the books I'm going to talk about this week. First book up is Animosity number 12, written by Marguerite Bennett. The art is by Raphael De La Torre, and the colors are by Rob Schwager. So Animosity continues to be a pretty popular title for Aftershock Comics. Maybe their best-selling title. For those of you not familiar, basically issue one, animals gain sentience. They start talking, they start thinking, and you can imagine what kind of chaos that throws the world into. And so Animosity is really the story of a dog and her or his a human, I guess you'd say. It's been very non-linear in storytelling so far. As I said, the first issue has the animal's awakening. There have been several time jumps in the series. I hope all that gets filled in at some point. But really what Marguerite Bennett has been doing so far is just giving us a whole heck of a lot of action and some interesting philosophical questions with the whole, you know, who deserves to live, who should die so others can live. You know, you can imagine that protein as a source of nutrition is pretty hard to come by. You know, there's a lot of the have and have nots. So it's a different world and it's intriguing. And I hope at some point we get a little more fleshed out, because the part she skipped over was a lot of the early days of this event, I guess you'd say. And to me, that might be the most interesting aspect of it. So I guess I'll just have to keep my eyes out for that. But the book's very good. It's very intriguing. She really seems to have a lot of fun giving all the animals different voices, I guess you'd say. So it's almost a way to add diversity to the comic without being like super overt about it. And I guess that's a bit of a buzzword in comics these days, but it certainly makes for interesting reading. The art by Raphael De La Torre is really, really good. You can imagine how hard it is to convey emotions when you're talking about animals. But he does a really, really great job. So, particularly with Jessie, the young girl who is kind of the main, I guess the main human character of the story, and her dog, who's Sandor, who's probably the main animal character. But I love Jessie. She's very precocious and wise beyond her years. So Yeah, it's a great book, you know, as a lot of the Aftershock titles are. But yeah, if I had any nitpick, it's just, as I said, you know, Margaret Bennett has glossed over some of what I would consider to be the interesting early days. But at the same time, it's 12 issues. It's been out over a year, and I'm still not quite sure what, like where the story's going. So, you know, some of you may take that as a good thing. I kind of would like to know a little more. I have like an end in sight. But I don't know. It's good. I'm definitely going to keep reading it. And there are some other, Animosity titles. I know there's World of Animosity. There was Animosity of the Rise and, Animosity Evolution. So, I've read Animosity of the Rise. I think it was a 3-issue. And that was early days of, because our story starts out in Animosity, starts out in New York City. Animosity of the Rise is in San Francisco, so on the other coast, and kind of the events that are happening over there. So, but I haven't read Animosity Evolution yet, so maybe that – I know that's supposed to pick up at where the Rise left off, so that maybe give me more of the early days part of the story that I'm kind of craving. So have the books, just haven't had a chance to read them. So I'll get back to you on those after I've had a chance to check them out. All right. Next up, I'm going to talk about Dark Knight's Metal number 5, written by Scott Snyder. Pencils in this issue are handled by Greg Capullo, inks by Jonathan Glapion, and colors by FCO Placencia. So this is continuing the Dark Knight's Metal series, crossover series from DC. And it's interesting. Early on in the series, there was a lot of tie-ins, you know, one or two books a month that tied in to the overall story. And so I kind of felt like I was getting a larger story. That's kind of funny. I certainly don't want to complain and say DC's not giving me enough crossovers in this event, because, you know, I'm the first one to say, you know, and call Marvel under the carpet when they do that, and every single book is crossing over and they're coming out with all these miniseries and one-shots and everything, and you got to buy 500 books to get the whole story. I'm not saying I want that. I'm not saying I necessarily mind that there aren't, that the crossovers and one-shots seem to be done. It's just that the way it started out with the Metal regular issues, and then we also had the Dark Knight's one-shots, and then we had the Gotham Resistance and the Bats Out of Hell crossover storylines going on. I was just getting more Metal, and now that it's just basically one issue a month for like the last 3 months, it's kind of slowed down. And so I feel like, wait, is there more Metal stuff coming out this week? Like, did I miss something? I kind of felt like I missed something but that's just not the case. It's just that the event was kind of front loaded, I guess you'd say. So I guess I'm just missing out on a little more of the content. All that being said, 5 was a really interesting issue. It kind of brought a character in that I didn't expect to see. And those of you who are fans of, so issue 5 was a really good follow-up to issue 4 that brought in a character I didn't necessarily expect to see. But at the same time, I don't know that it added a lot to the overall story. And by that I mean issue 4 had, you know, that character that was unexpected but made complete sense to be in the issue. And it was really cool. And then this issue kind of feels like a step back, sort of. It's like, you know, and I know not every issue can be pedal to the metal, no pun intended. But I just feel like, you know, a story has to have peaks and valleys, you know, it ebbs and flows. And this is definitely kind of on the down slope for me, I guess you'd say. But I guess that's kind of to be expected because it's the penultimate issue. So you kind of, you know, you're setting up a lot of what's going to happen in the last issue. But I'm ready for the end. I'm ready to know what's going to happen. Because for those of you that's been reading the story, all along it has kind of seemed like the antagonists in the story have been pulling the strings of the heroes all along. And every time the heroes seem to be kind of getting back on their feet, the villains turn around and say, oh, ho, 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 we knew you were going to do that. Oh, we knew you were going to do that. Oh, we planned on you doing that. Oh, you're playing right into our hands. And that feeling for me is just, it's getting a little old. And this issue 5 was where I kind of felt like, okay, like enough with this trope already with, you know, tricking the heroes into like sooner or later, the heroes are going to catch on. So I'm ready for that to be over. Strong suit. This issue, one of the best things I liked about it, other than the Capullo art, which is, you know, top notch as always. Great dialogue from Scott Snyder. There's particularly a scene with Black Adam and Wonder Woman that was super awesome and made me chuckle. So that was really cool. Kind of anxious to see Plastic Man actually like appear like fully on the page and not just be an egg. So looking forward to that. Would I have liked to see Green Lantern be a little more competent instead of needing to be rescued. But, you know, again, that's a little nitpick. It's a solid story. I think when it's all said and done, going back and just rereading the Metal issues 1-6 will really give me a better sense overall of just how good the story is. Honestly, it's hard to tell right now. It's, you know, it's been going on so long. And as I said, there were so many other tie-ins and crossovers that I read early on, and they were, some of them had a little bit different tone, you know, they're by different writers. So it's kind of, but they all kind of play in my head right now because I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen and where the story is going to go. So I think it would probably behoove me to go back and read all 6 issues of Metal when all is said and done and be able to judge them just on their own. All right, next book I'm going to talk about is also from DC Comics. It is Silencer number 1. And the creative team on that, it's written by Dan Abnett, art by John Romita Jr., inks by Sandra Hope, and colors by Dean White. So anyone who's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I'm not a fan of John Romita Jr.'s current style. And over the years, his style's gotten a little more stylized and a lot more stylized and a lot more blocky. I vastly prefer his older stuff, and the further you go back, the better. That being said, I think this is some of his best recent work. He seems, at least early on in the book, to have a little bit of a softer line. So I did appreciate that. And, you know, the guy's always had a good sense of storytelling. So that's not any different here. The transitions from panel to panel are done extremely well. And much in the same way, his panel layouts have never been groundbreaking either. You know, they're all just pretty standard squares and rectangles. Nothing to write home about. So, but a serviceable job. As I said, I did enjoy this, his art and his work in this book more than I've enjoyed any of his art that I can remember in the recent past. So as far as the story, I actually enjoyed it more than I thought. Basically, because it's kind of a cliche, so I didn't necessarily think I was going to enjoy it that much. But Abnett and Romita as well, because I'm pretty sure he had a hand in the overall plot. They do a good job of, even though it's kind of a story we've seen before, of keeping it fresh. And Abnett's always been good at dialogue, so no surprise there. So the story is about a former assassin who's trying to leave that life behind and just have a normal, ordinary life. She's married. She now has a son. But her past kind of catches up to her, kind of shows up literally on her doorstep. And she used to work for Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul's daughter. And Talia makes an appearance in this issue as well. So interested to learn more about her. She seems to have some interesting powers. The book is called The Silencer because she actually has the power to create a cone of silence, which is interesting and something that I would have loved to have had when my daughter was an infant. But the story is intriguing, and I'm definitely on board for issue two to see what happens next. It's a promising start. Didn't like it as much as I liked Damage number one from Rob Venditti, my writer of the year for 2017. But this is it's a good book. I would recommend picking it up. I think there's a lot of people out there who are going to get hooked on this book. All right, and the last book I'm going to mention is the Complete Divinity Trilogy, written by Matt Kent, pencils by Trevor Hairsign, inks by Ryan Wynn, and colors by David Barron. So this is a hardcover from Valiant Comics. It collects their previous miniseries Divinity, Divinity 2, Divinity 3, The Stalinverse, and the four one-shots that were tied into Divinity 3 Stalinverse. Plus, it has a ton of never-before-published artwork and kind of a lot of the planning and process pages from the creators that went into creating these stories. So, high-quality story, super interesting, very cosmic, very philosophical in a way. It's about some Russian cosmonauts who left Earth in the 60s, traveled all the way to the edge of the galaxy, discovered something there called the unknown, were given powers or received powers or somehow gained powers and abilities to manipulate time and space and matter, almost reality itself. And then, you know, they return to Earth and, you know, how do they relate after being gone so long? How do they relate now that they've got these almost godlike powers? What responsibilities do they have now that they're so advanced as far as humans? And do they have any responsibilities? Are we just ants to them? It's about loyalty to country, emotion, intelligence. Matt Kent covers a lot of topics. There's a lot there. Art-wise, Trevor Hairsign, Ryan Wynn, David Barron, all at the top of their game. Great line work from Hairsign. You know, his panel layouts are outstanding. Ryan Wynn really enhances that line work, that rendering, and gives it a lot of texture. And David Barron, you know, one of the best colorists in the business, really helps define mood and tone, and has some incredible cosmic pages in there as well that are just beautiful and gorgeous to look at. So I definitely recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's probably the biggest original character that the new Valiant has created up to this point. And it's, you know, it's all collected together in a beautiful hardback volume. So definitely recommend checking it out. Now, just to mention a few other books that you might want to be on the lookout for when you go to your comic shop today. Dark Arc number 5 from Aftershock Comics. That's the Cullen Bunn miniseries about kind of an analog to Noah and the Ark that we know about. It's so Noah was tasked with saving all the natural animals of the earth, and Shrey, a sorcerer, was tasked with saving all the unnatural animals. So, you know, vampires and Naga and manticores and all that kind of stuff. You know, basically the unnatural beings of the earth, the supernatural beings of the earth. So actually, it's a really interesting premise, and I'm actually surprised, and I've said this before, I'm surprised nobody's thought of it before. So it's definitely worth checking out. And the art by Juan Doe is really good as well. Next up, I will mention from DC Comics, we have Astro City number 50. It's a landmark issue. And other than that, it's kind of a light week for DC. As I said, Dark Metal number 5 and Silencer. We also have a few annuals, Deathstroke Annual 1, Flash Annual 1, and I thought there was one more. No, I guess that's it. Oh, also Mystic U number 2. Oh, and Vigilante Southland trade paperback, which was supposed to be a 6-issue mini by crime, mystery, noir writer, novelist Gary Phillips. But only the first 3 issues were released. And then I think due to poor sales, they just decided to package it all together into the trade paperback. So I'm picking that up because I want to see how that story plays out. From Devil's Due, Lark's Killer number 5, which is Bill Willingham's limited series, 5 of 7, comes out tomorrow. Over at Image, a few things you may be interested in. Spawn number 282 comes out, and also God Complex number 4 from Top Cow, which has been a really dense read from Paul Jenkins. But I've been enjoying it, and I think that's another one, much like Dark Knight's Metal. When God Complex is done, I'm going to have to go back and read it like all together. That's a book I think you get more out of it with subsequent readings. From Marvel, the Avengers weekly series No Surrender, or weekly story No Surrender, continues with Avengers 678. We also have the other weekly title that's coming out from Avengers right now, which is Phoenix Resurrection, The Return of Jean Grey, number 5. So that's the conclusion of that series. And finally, from Valiant, Eternity number 4, which that's 4 of 4. It's the last issue of the miniseries. And that's kind of a sequel to the Divinity trilogy. And that's probably going to wrap up the story for now, because I have a feeling that the new owners of Valiant probably aren't going to be interested in that cosmic corner of Valiant, just because it's not really established very well yet. So looking forward to finishing off that story. And they also have Quantum and Woody number 2 coming out tomorrow. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I want to thank you all for joining me. Please go to thecomicsourceblog.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on all our episodes and convention coverage. Please go enjoy our exclusive podcast for LRM Online, the 9-panel grid, over at lrmonline.com. And while you're there, check out a lot of their other content covering all manner of pop culture. So thanks for joining me, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.